The two of you will be part of a special program this upcoming Sunday, June 26th, at the Longmont Museum. What's the occasion and what can listeners expect?
Are going to be talking about both of our works, I hope. So as you mentioned, my recent book, The Agitators, which is about three women, three sort of unlikely friends who worked together on the Underground Railroad in the 10 years leading up to the Civil War. Their friendship extended until all of them died. And it was two women that most people have never heard of. I certainly hadn't before I began the project. Martha Coffin Wright, who was a housewife and mother of six, Frances Seward, the wife of Lincoln Secretary of State, William H. Seward, and of all people, Harriet Tubman. And they conspired together in upstate New York in the town of Auburn. And so my book is an exploration of these three women, how they got together, how three people who had absolutely no power, and with women in particular, and a fugitive slave among them, just were able to go under the radar and really help to create the second American Revolution, which included women's rights and overturning slavery.
Ashley Lawrence Sanders, what are you working on?
I work on Black memory of the Civil War currently, but more broadly, I teach African American history, so I'm very excited to engage Dorothy about this book. I knew the names of Martha Wright and Frances Seward, know their stories as much in depth as I do Harriet Tubman, who figures very heavily in my own work and research. You know, I think there's a weird thing where we know a lot about Harriet Tubman. We think we know a lot about her. We know her name. And I think that Frances and Martha have this friendship with her. I think exposes a lot about what we may or may not understand about current activism. And, you know, when I write about memory, a lot of it is engaging sort of these past ideas and how they can help inform the present. And I think that's sort of this important connection between my work and what Dorothy does here in this book is, you know, what can we actually glean from this kind of radical revolutionary friendship between these three women, these three very different women. And I think about that a lot because my students care about that. You know, they often care about how the past informs the present. And it's definitely, you know, in a lot of my work about memory as well.
I too had never heard of Martha Wright or Frances Seward. And Dorothy, you gave us a quick overview about who they are, but how did you come to know their stories and want to dig deeper into what it was all about?
I knew quite a bit about Auburn because that was where my grandmother grew up. And that was the subject of my first book. And amazingly, when I was working on that book, I found out that when my grandma, when she was about 5 years old, she and her best friend were standing on South Street, which is where the Seward House Museum is and where the Seward's lived at the time. And she and her friend were 4 or 5 years old, and they saw Harriet Tubman pass by as a very elderly woman. And when I was working on that book, that story, I couldn't get it out of my mind. And I kept thinking, how did Harriet Tubman, who was enslaved on the Eastern Shore for 27 of her early years, end up spending almost 50 years after the war in Auburn? So I kept thinking about that. And then I started looking into archives and started reading some of the scholarly books about Harriet Tubman. And I realized that I couldn't tell her story, and I didn't want to, without telling the story of these other two women too, because they worked together so tightly as collaborators. And in order to understand how revolutions are made, you have to understand the people who are making them. And in that era, it was these very unlikely people. And that, so nobody paid any, people had utter scorn, contempt for women in general and Black women in particular. So they could do quite a lot without people knowing what they were up to.
And Dorothy Wickenden, as executive editor of The New Yorker, you of course focus on news and current affairs, but why spend your extra time looking into and documenting history?
First of all, I'm just interested in American history. I didn't learn much about it when I was in college, or certainly not in high school. And so I got very interested when I was working on that book, which was my first book, which took place during the kind of settling of the West. So that got me into sort of telling history in a narrative way. And when I was working on this book, which took me 7 years because of my full-time job and other things, it was a complicated story, I kept being struck by how applicable their concerns were to today. It was spousal abuse. It was, I mean, the women, the level of misogyny was just was completely out of control. Men were allowed to beat their spouses, legally allowed to do that. Of course, racism was completely endemic, even in the North, where they were very proud because they had abolished slavery, you know, years earlier, but it was a completely racist society. Frances Seward and Martha Wright both lived in Auburn, which was a very conservative town. And people who knew some of Martha's activities called her a very dangerous woman because she openly promoted full equality between Black people and white people. And that was, at the time, a completely revolutionary idea. So I think, as Ashley clearly does, that in order to understand what this country is going through now, an upheaval that I think could be just as serious as the upheavals that led to the Civil War, you have to know where all this sprang from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ashley, Lawrence, Sanders, anything in particular strike you about this book?
Oh, well, a lot. I mean, I read this book in one day, which, you know, is pretty impressive for me in the summertime. But I process a rereading because I like to sort of reread because I'm going to be in conversation. And one of the things I caught a rereading is just how much I think Dorothy really focuses on the inner lives of these women, which I really appreciate because I think that has to be necessarily a part of writing women's history in particular. And speaking of this modern conception, just the struggles that these women had as women who were interested in activism, but having to balance the societal expectations that were placed on women, even middle-class women, right? That they be in the home, that they be good mothers, that they be good wives, right? And like the frustration they inevitably felt by being sort of kept in their place and breaking out of that frustration, right? Refusing the sort of patriarchal chains that society has placed on them, even in progressive circles, right? Even in the most radical circles that these things still exist. That's one of the things that struck me. And I think one, you know, I was always sort of fascinated before I read the book about the title Agitators, because I love that title. Like this is just, you know, it's forthright, it's confrontational. And I think that that's exactly what abolitionists were. I mean, we don't know a lot about abolitionist history, which I consider probably the first major human rights movement, first major social justice movement we had in this country. And they were not well-liked, right? They were not well-liked people. They were small in number, but they were loud. And they were determined and they had moral clarity. And I think that that's sort of an important lesson for our time too. So when we think about activism, they're always a loud, pushy people, right? That like seem to make everyone uncomfortable. That's what abolitionists were. And I think Dorothy's book really highlights like what it is to live a life where you could be labeled a dangerous woman or be shunned, you could be killed. Like this was the reality for many abolitionists as well. Their lives were constantly in danger. I think this book really highlights what it takes to be Harriet Tubman, you know, a Black woman who was enslaved and to come to this position, but also to be women, white women of relative privilege to set that aside and to be in sort of a revolutionary partnership and solidarity in a movement for struggle for women's rights and for emancipation inevitably. So I think this book really highlights the stakes for social justice movements. And I think that may be appealing to a lot of people today, hopefully.
What is the importance of bringing these types of events and discussions to the Boulder County area?
I think it's important. I think Boulder sees itself as a relatively liberal, progressive place, right? But a mostly white space. And I think that's been confronted a lot, you know, over the last several years, including on campus. And I think that, you know, people who say, you know, I'm in this particular space, what can I do? You know, we have just such a small population, things are fine here, right? I think, you know, talking about places like, you know, Auburn, even places like Philadelphia, right? This is like the brotherly love, the freest city. And Philadelphia is a violent place for Black people. They burned down Pennsylvania Hall because it's an abolitionist venue. So you can see and confront these issues in your own backyard, even when you think you have the best sort of politics at the upper level that could exist, to imagine what it means, you know, for someone who does not look like you, who's not from the same background. And what are you as a person who's living and maybe relative comfort can do to better the lives of others? I think the women in this book, you know, really answer that question in a really like profound way.
My guests today have been Dorothy Wickenden, executive editor of The New Yorker and author of the book The Agitators, and Ashley Lauren Sanders, assistant professor of African American history at CU Boulder. They will be featured in a special program this Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Longmont Museum. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.